Evening, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Why don't you go ahead and, as usual, someone shoot me a message to let me know that you can hear me. Discord was giving me a message earlier saying that I wasn't detecting my mic, but it appears to have disappeared. So, but we'll always want to verify that first. All right. Thanks, gents. Well, anyways, I hope you guys are having a good week. It has certainly been very interesting, at least in terms of the news cycle, right? We have a lot going on with Iran. We've got a number of other things to talk about. We actually have a white pill of the week that does not relate to, you know, something going on in our organization. There are actually good things happening in the world at large, which is, I know that sometimes when we do these, there isn't much in the news cycle that is worth speaking of in a positive light. But so the white pill of the week is this bill that Josh Hawley has introduced. I think it's Hawley. The bill, I don't have the name of it on hand, but basically it's a bill that is going to tackle big tech. It basically looks at the it's Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which, you know, creates a distinction between a publisher and a platform, whereas a publisher is responsible for the content that it is distributed. A platform is, you know, supposed to be an open forum. Well, there are certain benefits that follow from being designated as a platform, and all of these social media companies, right, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, that say that they're platforms. Well, they're actually not. They're because they meddle in the type of content, right? They engage in political and ideological censorship. So we'll see if this goes anywhere. But the fact that legislation is actually now being introduced is a good thing. And it actually goes to show, we'll talk about this a little more later, the implications of this. The idea that, like, we'll never see anything good from the GOP is not, I don't think that's the case. Obviously, the GOP establishment is pretty terrible, but again, we're going to go through some other things before we talk about that. So we'll do our weekly roundup. I don't think we had any major actions. We have a few bigger ones coming up soon, but it looks like you guys have been pretty active with the flyering. So keep up the good work there. Flags have arrived. A number of you have messaged me. I would say the best way, I do have a new temporary payment processor set up. We're working on some longer term options too. And I have someone whose sole job it is now is to, well, not sole job, but who is basically applying to just as many payment processors as possible. And eventually I think we'll be able to find one that sticks. So if you want one of these flags, and it turns out, I think we have them in white too. We ordered them so long ago. There's some issues in getting them out, production issues and so forth. But I'm pretty sure we have them in red and white. So I'm going to post some updated, better pictures at some point today or tomorrow. But you guys can just go ahead and shoot me a message on Mattermost if you would like to buy a flag. They're pretty cool. They're big. They're bigger than the flags that we had in the past. And that is that's pretty good if you want to hang them up in your house. I'm sure most of you outside of activism will not be waving them around in public, although if you decide you want to do that, that's fine. I would recommend filling out an activism proposal form first before you make that decision. So let us talk about the upcoming events, right? So we have an event taking place the weekend of 4th of July. As you know, in terms of the ticket prices and the dates that you can come out, those are available on Mattermost in the announcements channel. I'll do another announcement sometime before the weekend. But you should be able to scroll up and find those. So it's going to be a great weekend. There's going to be a lot going on for non-activists as well. If you are uncomfortable showing your face, you should show up. Have a good time. We're going to be hanging out at the HQ. The ticket prices, I had a few people tell me that they were a bit steep. They are not steep. They're not steep in comparison to any other event you're going to go to. And we've basically calculated it. It's going to cover your food. Like, I don't think we made much of any money off of the Politics and Prose weekend. It's not covering lodging. You know, you don't have to pay for that if you're staying at the HQ, but it is covering food, because when you have, you know, dozens of people staying out at the same place, you know, making everyone like pitch in every time you're about to eat something or forcing people to go out individually just doesn't make sense. It makes more sense for you to, you know, have a big pool of money that you can draw from to buy breakfast, dinner, you know, cover beer and stuff. So that is where the money's going. And if there was no ticket prices, but no food, you would probably pay a comparable amount. And you'd have to worry about feeding yourself too. So, money's not going to my pockets. It's not, I don't think there's going to be really much of anything going to the organization's coffers either. But obviously, you know, transparency in these things is very important. So, I would strongly encourage you to come out to that. I'd like to remind you that, us having a movement is dependent on people showing up. It's, you know, they're definitely going to be lulls here and there. I think, you know, these things wane, you know, they ebb and flow. A lot of it depends on the chapter, right? You know, maybe, you know, 6 months ago, one chapter wasn't doing so hot and another, you know, was, and then maybe that flips, you know, these things are in a constant state of flux. But I would strongly encourage everyone to participate as much as you can, as much as you can. Now, again, if you want to treat this organization as mostly a social network, if you just want to treat it as an online thing, right? If you are just so busy and you just want to chat with people in person, or sorry, on a platform, you know, in between work, and you know, you have a family and maybe you work two jobs, I don't know. That's okay. That's absolutely okay. There aren't requirements to be an activist, though we'll talk about the Minutemen program a little bit here, and the requirements that will be mandated for that program. So we have the 4th of July event. I hope to see all of you here. Beyond that, we also have an event coming up in August, and I think we're just about ready to announce that and start accepting, registration for that event. So I would also like to keep in mind that while these events are fun, they're absolutely fun, they're very necessary, right? If we stop doing this, we're basically letting the other side, we're letting them win to some extent, but we need to keep up the energy, keep up the momentum. I'm very excited to seeing, you know, looking forward to seeing all of you guys at both of these events. But it's important to keep that in mind, that there is like the fun fraternal aspect of it too, but like we're here for a reason. We are here because there is a concerted effort to ensure that there are less people like us on the face of this earth. And we all understand that that is unacceptable and that we're not just going to sit back. Well, people who hate us make us minorities or worse. So everyone can find a way and should find a way to contribute. If you're not going to do activism, I would strongly implore you to become a patron, to become an interviewer, to get active in other ways too. Guys, if we don't fight and we don't earn this victory, then we don't deserve it. It's that simple. That's just how things go in this world. If you're not willing to stick up for what's yours, it's going to get taken from you, and you can cry all you want. No one's going to care. So July 4th and the August event in Texas. Again, I'm pretty sure you can find those in announcements on Mattermost, but I will be, the Texas event, I don't think we've accepted registrations quite yet, but we're right around the corner from doing that. But July 4th, you should find that. And you know, we'll be doing these, we'll be making announcements probably on a weekly basis to encourage you, to remind you guys. And, you know, we do have the message deletion feature implemented on Mattermost. So we do have to make them, you know, fairly often just so people can have access to them as well. So when it comes to the Minutemen program, let's talk about that. So I think here's what, before we go on, we've implemented now as of this fireside, this weekly address notes. And I don't think we've done that in the past, maybe once or twice. But just for future notice, you guys are strongly encouraged to come to these weekly addresses, but there will be notes provided in the off chance that you were working, you're with family. You know, I understand it's right around dinner time. More for the, I think it's after dinner for those of us on the East Coast, which is kind of why it's at this time. A bit selfish in that regard, but the point is it's definitely going to be good for you all to keep up to date with these notes, even if you can't make these weekly addresses. And thank you to the one and only AVK, who has volunteered at least for this weekly address to take notes. Maybe it will prove so painful an experience that he will pass on the torch to someone else for future weekly addresses. But those of you who, I think I have made at least one announcement on Mattermost about the Minutemen program. There's a good chance that I have it, though, you know, because it's sometimes it's hard to remember if I've discussed these things at length in weekly addresses or if I've made announcements on Mattermost. But I know that I have announced that we are doing the Minutemen program. But nevertheless, some of you might not be aware of it, so we'll kind of go through that again. The Minutemen program is going to be an elite cadre of activists within the organization who are willing to show their face, willing to travel, willing to do bold and audacious actions, such as the one we did at Politics and Prose. And this is going to be for people who want to put themselves on the front line, who have the means to do so, who ideally are resilient enough to do so. We're going to be paying very close attention to everyone's situation. You know, when we talk to people, making sure that they're like actually in a position where, you know, they could do activism and not have their lives totally upended. Because as we've seen with the result of these doxies, a lot of people, you know, based on the kind of job they have or where they live, you know, many haven't really had any consequences. Or maybe they got fired and they got a new job the next day paying more. That did happen. So the point is we want to be able to know who in the organization is pretty resilient. Now keep in mind, we were using the term anti-fragile in the past to refer to what actually is resilient. So this is a trichotomy, I believe, created by Talib, who has me blocked on Twitter, RIP. But that guy has probably blocked like thousands, if not tens of thousands of people on Twitter. It's pretty, it's kind of impressive, honestly. But so basically, and I did detail this in the A-member handbook, which I would advise you to, to remind you have to read before the end of the month. You have about a week and a half, so you better get to it if you haven't read it already. That there, this resilient, fragile, and anti-fragile. So to be resilient means you can weather the storm, right? The system is throwing attacks at you, right? Media slander, doxing, you know, contact your employer. It means that you can remain, right, resilient, right? You can withstand the storm. You can weather the storm. And that's, you know, some people are in that situation, others aren't. That's okay. To be fragile is to buckle under pressure, right? So if you're, you know, if your family would disown you if you lose your job and never be able to find a new one. Now that usually, I've never really heard of that being the case. It's a question of, you know, how effective system attacks on your existence basically could be. And to be anti-fragile is admittedly fairly rare within the context of dissident politics. To be anti-fragile means that not only can you weather the storm as is the case with resilience, but that you can also, that you grow stronger as a result of it, right? That not only do you say, hey, I'm not moving, I'm not going anywhere, I'm going to, you know, keep withstanding these attacks, but you're saying I'm growing stronger as a result of the attacks. Now, most of us can't do that. There's some, you know, rare examples. For example, if you're, Julian Vonnebel, that's a good example. He was the guy who was, I think, a grad student, maybe he was undergrad at some fairly prestigious university, and there was a group of POCs surrounding him when he was drunk and filming him, and he was going on some, you know, comically self-aggrandizing rant about how white people are awesome and invented everything. Both of those are basically true. And obviously blew up, and oh wow, how is this white kid, how does he think that he can say this? It's also factually incorrect. Yeah, so what happened with him is, so he's like, oh well, I've got this book, so you guys should, you know, and then everyone just, he probably sold thousands if not hundreds of thousands of copies. I bought a copy. I'm probably never gonna read it, but he was glad to support the kid. I have no idea what he's doing now. You know, there's a good chance that I feel like if you're memorialized in like just like one drunken event, like maybe you'll just people, you know, in a few years be able to laugh it off. But you never know. Kyle Cash has had his Harvard invitation or acceptance rescinded as a result of saying the N-word a few years ago. Fortunately, I have never said the N-word, not even once. So I don't have to worry about suffering any social consequences from that. Now, maybe other things I've done, maybe other political statements I've made, maybe there's some consequences that have ensued from that. But never said the N-word, not even once. I didn't even know what it was until recently, and I was very, very horrified to hear it uttered for the first time when someone explained it to me. So, but the Minuteman program. So, elite cadre of activists. We're going to push them towards resilience, making sure that all of them are prepared for what's to come. And we're going to do the bolder, more daring actions like politics and prose. Not all of the actions will involve shouting at people in bookstores. Like any type of action, the more specific it is and the more you replicate a very specific action, the more you have to deal with diminishing returns. It's funny, I've had a number of people, like normie friends who I've reached, gotten in contact with recently, just a few of them, not like dozens or anything, but and they've looked at my Twitter and they've been like, why are you yelling at people in a library? And it kind of does look like that if you don't really know what's going on. But anyways, yelling at people in libraries is it's the kind of thing you want to do sparingly, right? So the Minutemen program, it's invite only. Minutemen will have to be invited. If you want to be part of the Minutemen, you are more than willing to let me know. But there isn't an application process. Like if you indicate to me that you are interested, okay, I'll keep that in mind. And if I say, hey, you know what? This person has gone above and beyond in terms of activism. This person does have somewhat of a employment and so forth situation that is amenable to doing identitarian activism. And this person has demonstrated good behavior. He has integrity. He hasn't done anything stupid, at least too stupid. Then I say, okay, yeah, maybe we'll send this guy an invite. But yeah, again, it is invite only. And I think we've invited 10 to 20 people already. So the invites have gone out. Check your email that you have on file, and don't be too offended if it doesn't if you didn't get the first round of invites. The first round again it was just 10 to 20 people, so it's a very small amount. We just wanted to go with the people who were just we knew 100% have dedicated themselves and so forth. And there are others that we're going to be inviting too, right? There are definitely others, but wanted to get the first round out and then start working on the second round. So there's going to be a prospect phase. I'm going to have to double check to see. I don't know if we've fully decided on the, I think it is 3 months. So there's going to be about a 3-month prospect phase by which, or for which, most people are going to have to, most people who want to become Minutemen will have to demonstrate commitment to the organization, commitment to the cause, right? Well, after 3 months, we'll look back on your 3-month prospect phase and say, all right, how many actions did you go to? Oh, you sat home playing video games instead of while we were doing the July 4th action. You live 4 hours away. You could have drove out. Those are the kinds of things that we're going to say, take a look at. Also, keep in mind, guys, I can see who's playing what on Discord if you don't have that disabled. So keep that in mind. You never know who's watching. And, additionally, there are going to be some books that need to be read and so forth. And it is going to be a very official process. It is not going to be the kind of thing where, after 3 months, we're just like, yeah, all right, yeah, you're good. No, this is going to be something that you have to work for, that you have to earn, so that once you become part of the Minutemen, you will feel like you actually have earned something, and you will indeed have. You will indeed have. So that is the Minutemen program. Again, the first round of invites has already gone out. But like I said, you can always feel free to reach out. And if I haven't seen too much activism from you, if it doesn't seem like you maybe would be the best fit, then I would just give you some advice for things that you can do to be recognized by the activism department for consideration of the Minutemen program. So that is the Minutemen. I want to definitely thank and congratulate the activism department. Everyone knows who that is for the phenomenal work that they've done in brainstorming designing and implementing this program. This has been something that we've wanted for a while. Obviously, I can't do everything. And they've just done such a bang up job that it's you know hard to see what I would have done differently. You know, I did play a minor role in some of the discussions for planning things. They obviously, you know, presented these to me. It wasn't a surprise. I do require people in the organization to let me know what they're planning on unveiling when they unveil new departments and so forth. But yeah, they did fantastic work as always. So hats off to them. So moving along, let's talk about what we can take away from the Josh Hawley situation. I think the main thing here is, you know, you have the people who are trying to, and they're not really even worth naming, but, you know, the narrative that people who have a grudge against us for, you know, Rosentemann-driven reasons, generally, you know, the accusation is that we are trying to take over the GOP. Well, I've never attended a GOP meeting in my life. So I don't know if that's really a viable accusation to level against me. A lot of this stems from the NBC piece, which was, you know, that released the same day of the Today Show piece, where they asked me like, oh, do you encourage your guys to get involved in the GOP? And I was like, sure, yeah. They're like, oh, go on. I was like, well, yeah, I encourage my guys to go to GOP meetups. And then they're like, oh, he's plotting to take over the GOP. Like, it's his big, they're obviously trying to use that against the GOP for midterms. So let's talk about what that means. You know, infiltrating the GOP, if you infiltrate an organization, like, you have to do what they want, right? You have to give them what they want in order for you to move up in the ranks. But let's just take a step back and say this. We are a dissident metapolitical organization. We are primarily concerned with doing activism, creating other forms of content, and facilitating community organizing. Those three things are absolutely and will remain our biggest endeavors, our most important endeavors, right? Yeah, if we became an organization that was just trying to integrate into the GOP, that would be, you know, a waste of the human capital that we have accumulated, right? We have some very talented, intelligent, driven, and capable people in this organization, and to just kind of turn that into, you know, TPUSA, but maybe harder on immigration would be worthless. You know, we would maybe attract some wealthy Israeli donors, which seems to be the way to make it on the right here in America, unfortunately. But we're obviously not interested in that. So let's talk about the GOP, though. If you're not going to be an activist, you should, again, be thinking of other ways that you can contribute. One way you can do it is by networking with the GOP, talking about AIM, right? Encouraging people to join. We have some guys, you know, various states who have found success going to these social events, finding the people who would be receptive to our message and up to our standards, convincing them to join. So, you know, interfacing with the GOP to get people to join our organization, absolutely. Yeah, if we get, I mean, that's prime recruiting ground. I'm probably going to have far more success going to a GOP meetup trying to recruit people than you will just on a college campus talking to, like, you know, the average guy. Although in my experiences, talking to people on college campuses, doing activism there, if you're going after, you know, fairly, you know, masculine white guys, then they're probably going to be pretty receptive. Like, they see the degeneracy all over campus. So that's, you know, another form of activism that's definitely worthwhile. But when it comes to, you know, the GOP just in general, look, you know, the dissident right needs to understand its role as a vanguard. But at the same time, you know, power, Jared Taylor said this recently at a private event we did, is, you know, power ultimately comes from politics, though. I mean, it's not the only way, but, you know, if what you're advocating doesn't involve, like, policy change at some point, you know, it's not going to, like, you know, you talk about changing the culture in metapolitics. Sure. There's time and place for that. But if it doesn't result in culture change, you know, it doesn't really matter. And I think within the GOP, so the other argument that the people level against, you know, people who say there's no, you know, the GOP must die. It must be crushed. We need a third party, which obviously is never going to really accomplish much. Maybe could raise a little awareness, but I mean, look at, there are decent people in the GOP. Josh Hawley's a perfect example. And the biggest issues that we face are totally compatible or totally approachable and can be dealt with from within a civic nationalist, you know, an outwardly facing civic nationalist perspective, right? Obviously, if you go into the GOP and say, I'm an identitarian, they are going to blackball you. They are going to kick you out. That's understandable. Or if in the case of Steve King, your gaffes give people reason to believe that you might be an identitarian, no matter how hard you cuck afterwards, right, they're still going to be at your throat. So, but, I mean, there's, you look at, I mean, Josh Hawley, that's a good piece of legislation. I haven't taken like a very fine, you know, look to it with a magnifying glass, I'm also not a lawyer, but I mean, it's pretty decent. Like these standards would not apply to, you know, startups and smaller social media companies and so forth, forums, which is pretty good. And, you know, there are the main issues that we face, mass immigration, both legal and illegal, you know, the protectionist trade policies, dealing with big tech, right? All of the stuff that Tucker talks about, like this is all, like you don't have to be an explicit identitarian to promote this stuff. So, I mean, if you want to look, you know, kind of the AOC wing is doing with the Democrat Party, that could be done within the GOP. Could not be done by me. Could not be done by explicit identitarians. Could be done by people who are closeted identitarians who are doing it covertly, right? And that's something to consider for, you know, people who are, and there are certain places I'm told where, you know, the state government is a little more quote based than, you know, we might believe. Florida, I mean, that was another white pill with DeSantis in the sanctuary city order. I can't remember if that was, you know, within a week's time, which is how we do the white pill of the week generally. But it's just, I mean, it just goes to show that just saying the GOP is dead, there's no point. It's, I mean, you're basically skating around. And the funny thing is the people that are making this argument, you know, what they actually advocate is well, we should build our own infrastructure. Well, you're hearing this, and again, this is stuff that these are criticisms they level against us. You're hearing this from people who destroyed their own infrastructure, who burned all of their bridges, who, you know, whose projects collapsed like boxes, you know, outside of trailers, right? This is the case. So we are a dissident organization. Our main focus will never be GOP anything. If we can encourage, if we can in any way facilitate people to run and get elected to office, people like Hawley, maybe Matt Gaetz. I know he's got some decent positions. He was coming out against, he's anti-war. I mean, we've like GOP politicians who are anti-war. That's harder to come by, right? Usually, you just have like the few semi-kooky libertarians. Sorry, libertarians. You know, like Rand Paul, Ron Paul, who say these things. But yeah, I mean, if we can, you know, it's not as if this is fixed in stone, or set in stone rather. So. Something to consider. We do have people who are active in politics, you know, and again, so if you guys can't do activism, you're looking for a way to contribute, maybe consider going into politics, right? The average person in this organization is far more competent, intelligent, driven, and honestly trustworthy, right? We're generally better people than the average person. And that, you know, maybe when you're just only in dissident politics, you don't really realize it, but when you go and interact in the normie political sphere, you see it, right? Guys, we have undergone a radical ideological transformation that has required, you know, great amount of intelligence, of intellectual honesty, and sincerity to do. And the people who, again, the people who come to the cause for the right reasons are generally many cuts above average. I even had the head of park ranger at Dale Hollow, basically admit that, when he and I were talking, must've been Saturday at some point, you know, we're just taking a look outside. I stepped out to see how things were going, see if the opposition showed up. And he said, boy, yeah, every time one of your guys walks by one of mine, they, you know, thank him for his service. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, my guys are very respectful. You know, they're very respectful and very, very grateful. You know, we're law-abiding and so forth, even law and order. He was like, yep. And I said, you know, something to keep in mind, something that I've noticed is that people who come to these views, people who, you know, become nationalists for the right reasons, are oftentimes in many regards like way above average. And the guy looks at me and he says, yeah, it shows. So there are many people in the country for whom virtue is still like a good thing, right? It's not just, you know, slavish adherence to a certain, you know, state promulgated ideology. It's actually, oh, are you a good person, right? That used to matter. It still does. And you know, if the globalists win, or if they win for a while, like they continue racking up victories and consolidating power, that's going to be those things that matters less, right? That's what you have in totalitarian regimes, right? It doesn't, you can be a great person, but oh, are you breaking the orthodoxy? Well, how good of a person could you really be if you think that children shouldn't be exposed to, you know, pedophile drug addict drag queens, right? You know, well, you might, you know, volunteer at your church and treat everyone nicely and you know, be a good father, but, you know, you believe that we should have like barricades on the southern border to keep out, you know, rapists and criminals. Well, how good of a person you can be, right? That's the kind of cult-like totalitarian mindset that we see starting to set in, right? And that's again, one of many reasons why we're fighting this, because that is unacceptable. That is an unacceptable state of affairs to define this fine country of ours. So the moral of that is, I would encourage you, again, if you can't do activism, consider getting involved in politics, seeing what you can accomplish. Now, the example of James Alsup, he ran, you know, he did all of this stuff openly, right? And he would tell people, yeah, do it discreetly. Like, if you're pointing James Alsup and saying, ha-ha, that's evidence that getting involved in politics is pointless. Well, I mean, the guy was doing it openly, right? About, you know, open with all of his views. Yeah, that's what's going to happen if you do it openly. You shouldn't expect anything different. It's not cucked to go in there as like a secret agent. And from people I know who work in the White House and have other political connections, there are like a lot of people who kind of get most of the issues. Obviously, you know, if you don't see them like retweeting our stuff, it's probably because they can't. But the goal is to change that and to get it to the place where, you know, we actually, you know, things, people can interact with whom they want to, right? I don't think anyone on the right really likes the idea that, you know, even if they don't agree with us, they don't like the idea that, you know, that they're forced to disassociate with anyone who has the wrong opinion, right? There are a lot of people out there that dislike that. But the question is whether or not those people will be able to create a political order that changes things. And we'll just have to see how things play out in that regard. So that concludes everything I had for you tonight. It's been a fairly uneventful week. One more thing. Let's talk about Iran for a little bit, because that is certainly something that's on people's minds. And I have people asking me about, you know, are we going to do a demonstration? Here's the thing. I did tweet about it quite a bit today. My hunch is that nothing happens. By all appearances, I don't think Trump actually... I don't think he actually wants to go to war with Iran. Now, everyone around him does, or at least many influential people around him does. In fact, the boldness still in this administration is just embarrassing more than anything else. But I would be surprised. I think you might. My concern is that Trump, you know, does something like he did with the Syria strikes, where he's like, all right, I'll just, you know, strike some like pointless base with no one in it. And and then just to like get these people to get the war machine to off his back, but you know, at the same time, it does feel like things are heating up. So we'll have to see how things play out. But keep in mind, as long as I've been involved in politics, or just interested in politics, and it probably goes back to, you know, when I was 18, 19. So 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there has always been like, it's almost, you know, a lot of people have always been like, oh, war with Iran is right around the corner. War with Russia is right around the corner. Saber rattling is just part of politics. It's just part of politics, particularly today in the age of mass media, social media, right? Everything's so interconnected. There's a lot of, thrusting your chest out at the other guy, and I'm gonna, if you do this, I will do that. And, you know, where in the past these things might have had just like, you know, people angrily writing letters to one another. Yeah, maybe you see something printed in the newspaper, but just the nature of modern communications makes it so it is just kind of this back and forth, and you're seeing all of these news articles, and you're like, oh, what could go on? So I would be surprised if we go to war. I can assure you, if we do go to war with Iran, we will be doing protests. I'm not against, you know, a firing campaign or something. I think our graphics apartment has some good designs in the works. But yeah, it's we're not gonna really jump the gun. We're gonna wait until something actually happens and then do it. Now maybe you could say, well, if we wait for something to happen and then it does happen, well, we missed, you know, a good opportunity. But I kind of have to face the fact that nothing that we do in terms of activism is really going to stop a war from Iran from happening if Trump and his administration are interested in doing that. Like, you know, if we got millions of people in the streets of DC, yeah, that could be pretty powerful, right? Shutting down walkways, civil disobedience, sure. I do not have those numbers in our organization, at least not yet. So we do have to understand that, that some forms of activism will be effective in some ways, but perhaps not in other ways. So that concludes everything I had to say. I will take questions now. I think some of you already sent me some. Here are a few questions. How can we get you on Tucker Carlson tonight? Can the fourth DC action propel you to be on the show? I don't think that's going to happen. Here's the thing. The only media generally that want to give us coverage are, and there are always going to be exceptions, are opposition media, right? Because there's this whole guilt by association thing. And if you're seen as being too friendly with the other side, then, and by that I mean, you know, anyone in the media being too friendly with an unperson like myself, then they are to be of the, guilt by association. They're going to lose, you know, their social credit as well. And eventually, once you run out of that, then, you know how that goes. So the thing is with Tucker is like, he's pretty close to us. And, you know, with his new socially conservative economic nationalist message, many people have likened that to certain things in the past that, not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He just, that would totally be guilt by association. And, you know, he's already worried about his advertisers and so forth. So, I've heard behind the scenes, maybe he understands certain things that, things he won't talk about. So, mentioned that the GOP is not working in our best interest. So we shouldn't be focusing on infiltrating, but how can we change them to work for us without getting people in it? Well, I mean, our main focus should be infiltrating, right? So for the guys who can't do activism, yeah, get involved locally, right? I think there absolutely is potential for like local state level politics. If you live in a quote unquote base state, to get, you know, position people in government, local to ban sanctuary cities, right? That's totally doable. It's once you get to national level where it's like far harder to get things done because you have the deep state working against you, and not that that isn't at play altogether. So third parties were mentioned. Is it a possibility for AIM to become its own party on the national level? I'm not against it. I think I might actually be of age to run for president by 2024. So maybe I'll just get elected president. I think we'll just have to go for that option. I'll do it if I must. But in all seriousness, I mean, it'd be a great way to raise awareness. I know Richard Spencer was talking about running in 2020, but that fizzled out before it started. Good questions. Kyle, for the fourth event, can we pay at the door? I would say, I'm honestly considering doing that, I would say yes, but we need to find out. Message me on Mattermost if you want to pay at the door. We might just do it that way, but But you can also, I mean, you can also send stuff to the PO box. Like, it'll get here before the 4th. So I would encourage you to do that. But yeah. Thoughts on Charlie Kirk's recent blunder you recently retweeted about? Any way we can exploit a type of ties to the land nationalism that is in opposition to Charlie Kirk's abstract ideas nationalism? Yeah, I mean, we just have to push back on like this liberal proposition nation contractual conception of America. And I'm actually reading Who Are We by Sam Huntington now, a book that many of you maybe, you know, maybe some of you have read already. I know it's been out for a while, but it's really good. All of you should read that. It's just basically, it's the book on America's identity, right? And Huntington talks about how America used to have an ethnic, racial, I think cultural, and then creedal. I think those are the four types of identities that, you know, he talks about. And yeah, you know, with those identities have gradually eroded, right? The ethnic component, right? The Anglo-Saxon component was eroded when my people came over. Too bad, in the mid 1800s, and then with the dawn of civil rights, alas, in the 1960s, the racial component was lost as well. And perhaps some of the know-nothings in here might disagree, but I think that that one is far the far worse of the two. I don't think I see any Bill the Butcher avatars in here, which is good, because that's actually very offensive to my people. But we do have to point out that, yeah, America's like, I mean, he's just trying to boil down America to like, you know, the creed, basically the creed, the civic religion of, okay, well, you know, to be an American, or America's just about, you know, laissez-faire economics, populism, what are some of the other ones, right? Limited government. It's like, no, there have been many components to American identity throughout history. And, you know, the erosion of these have basically resulted in this country just becoming a shopping mall. So it's important for us to understand, like, no, we have to have a sense of consciousness, ethnic and racial consciousness, to really, you know, continue the American project, right? To continue America as it was meant to be. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anyone wants to go to his next stop and call him out on this stuff, great. You know, that guy David Santa Carla is like just doing so much damage to TPUSA. He did the St. Clair stuff. He's doing this stuff with Charlie Kirk. Phenomenal work. It just goes to show, like, you can hold these people to their standards. I think that's an Alinskyite strategy. I forget the phrasing that he uses, but yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These people are opportunists, and it shows. And when it shows, we should expose them to, you know, the Ann Coulters and the Mark Dice. Dunking on Ashley St. Clair was too good, because there are people out there who have a lot of influence and reach and who are well respected on the right who will call these people out for being frauds. So it is, if we can facilitate that, absolutely. You mentioned a certain state governments are more based than others. Do you have specific states in mind that you believe are more sympathetic to nationalism? Currently researching Tennessee's political landscape, but we'd like to hear. So I could direct, there are definitely better, you know, political autistes in the organization than me when it comes to, you know, policy and so forth. But Florida's doing pretty well. Florida's doing pretty well. DeSantis is doing fairly well. Purdy's got some pretty good people in his administration or whatever. His state administration. But as far as others go, I don't know any off the top of my head. DeSantis is really the one that stands out. There are definitely others out there. I'm told that Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma is confirmed based in red-pilled. Absolute family man. That's good to hear. Someone asked me if I lift. I do lift. I absolutely do. My lifts aren't terribly impressive, though. And part of that was because I wasn't eating much when I was doing MMA from April 2018 to basically the end of 2018. The goal was to do one amateur fight. That was supposed to happen in March of this year. I don't know. I don't see how that could have happened given everything that happened in March of this year, but I ruptured a disc deadlifting. So I had to basically sent that out. And then I actually went out and I went to the local MMA place by the HQ recently and for to try out a class, maybe get back into it. And we were working on some, we're doing some throws as part of a drill, and I got thrown once and I just, it like totally flared up again. So I'm not fully healed, which sucks, but yeah, I do, to ask, I do bench press, military press, squat, pull-ups, used to deadlift, can't do that anymore. None of the numbers are terribly impressive at this point. I've definitely like made gains, but yeah, I don't know. I'm at the point where like the numbers go up when I eat like gluttonous amounts of food, but then I get like my body fat goes up too. So I've kind of reached the conclusion that, you know, if I look like fat, if I've got like a fat face, fat on, around the neck, looking a little pudgy, it doesn't matter how like big I am. It doesn't matter how much I deadlift. If I look like kind of gross, then that's just going to not reflect great on the organization, right? So, I mean, I've been making slow gains, but I'm not really like eating the caloric surplus necessary to do an extreme lift. So I think my best was deadlifting 3 plates, but you know, again, that's not terribly much. Please shill for book club. I've been asked to shill for the book club. So here goes. Join the book club, message Peter on the server, and he will add you. There you will be initiated into the strange world of population genetics and Erdmert ancestral studies and all sorts of other arcane but definitely worthwhile subjects that are explored in our lovely book club. So the Texas event is in August, mid-August or so, but we'll have the exact date ready, you know, sometime this week once we have the announcement, the invite going out. So. All right, well, it seems like the questions... Oh, I saw someone was typing. You know who you are. You can go ahead and finish that up. I won't cut you off here. You've been typing for a while, so I've got a feeling it's going to be a good one. So this fellow says, I have a few PDFs of men's etiquette and dress. Our members should make it their priority to enter greater right-wing social environments as gentlemen and contribute. You'll be surprised how many people share our concerns. If a member meets such a person and as a competent gentleman, it'll be easier to win them over to our organization. Absolutely, right? It's right there in dedication and leadership, right? So, you know, what is it, Jim's story? Is it Jim Story? No, I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, In Dedication to Leadership, which is on the reading list that you should all read, talks about there was this, you know, communist strategy where, you know, instead of just like being like, okay, let's try to take over this factory and turn it, you know, turn them into unionists or communists or whatever, instead of like going in there and just being like, oh, the proletariat should rise up, like, you should, what they would do is they'd have like, you know, the guy just go in there and just be the best. Like, he's the guy, he's always showing up early, he's friendly, he's helping other people out, just being, you know, a master of his craft. And then finally, when the time comes and he's like, we should, you know, we should embrace communism, people are like, wow, this guy's embracing communism. Yeah, we should do it. I mean, that's the whole like thing about there being like an optics debate. There is no optics debate. There are people that understand like basic human psychology, right? That oftentimes it is in fact the way someone looks and presents that is a large determining factor in whether or not you will accept, you know, others will accept their views. It's definitely not all. You have to have substance, but yeah, Che, if you want to post those in general on the national team, then by all means, thank you. All right, well, that looks like it concludes the questions for tonight. So thank you. There will be notes again if you came in late, or I guess if you left early, you would not be hearing this right now. But keep up the good work. Please, you know, try to do what you can to get out there, participate in activism, come out to the events, do meetups, read the handbook, follow good OPSEC, right? Better yourself as a person. I think everyone knows what we need to be doing. We just have to really dial things up. I'm saying that to myself as well, to get it done. Because let's remember, we're here in part because it's fun and we're in good company. But there is a concerted effort to destroy our race and our civilization. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that we're not going to let that happen. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you and have a good night.